good morning, folks. Here we are. Program number 9, I think it is. Yes, it is. And we're going to have a whole coffee pot of goodness this morning. Not a coffee cup, not a cup of goodness, just a pot of, it's a pot of goodness here. And I think what I'm going to do, is I'm going to try to explain this next segment here. And we're going to look at Genesis to Revelation, a very generalized outline of the entire Bible. Now, I cannot do this in 30 minutes. I can't do it in 60 minutes. I'm going to see if I can't do it in 90 minutes. This program will be airing on Wednesday, so that gives me Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to go over this thing. Now, so let's just jump into this. And what you need to do there this morning, radio listeners, is go to my website, scatteredchristians.org, and scroll down until you see where it says PowerPoint Presentations. Click on PowerPoint Presentations. It'll take you to a presentation page, or there's a whole list of programs on there. Now, go all the way down to that thing to where it says Paul's Greater Commission. And you click on that. And if your computer can accept PowerPoint, you will have a very large presentation ready to click in front of each one of those. Every time you click your mouse, it'll add one little piece to the program here. Now, what I'm going to say here is I'm going to say what you need to do is I have these programs individually uploaded so you can listen to them anytime you want. So I would recommend that you just kind of listen in this morning as we do this. And if you've got that program, that presentation already there in front of you, that'd be a marvelous thing. But if you don't, I would listen to this program at another time and take your time. It'll help explain that presentation. So it's a PowerPoint presentation, and I was never able to learn how to put the audio to those things. I think it's because I've got all these hundreds of little clicks on one frame. I don't think you can time those things very well. So I'm just going to go through this chart. And you listen to this at a later day if you'd like to listen to it slowly. Look up all the verses. Every verse that's mentioned in here, you stop, put the thing on pause, and look it up. And you'll see what's being said there. And what we're going to do to this next 3 days, I'm just going to highlight the general outline and highlight a couple of the verses that should help explain things a little bit. Does that make sense? Now, you can also go to my page on there where it has study charts. And you can print this major... it's this one page. You can print this entire page off into a chart, and then you can follow along with that thing too as you listen to this program or on your own studies. So let's get started. I'm going to pretend or imagine that you have the program there in front of you. And I'm going to go through it myself, just generally, and I'll click on some things, and you just see if you can't keep up with me. Remember the old days when I used to have those slideshows, and every time there'd be a ding, you'd have to click to the next slide or whatever? Well, you'll just have to click your mouse as you see us going along here. So as that thing pops up in front of you, go up to where it says slideshow, there by tools, in your top toolbar, and click on slideshow, and then click on view show. And it'll set up there for you this big blue screen with a couple directions on how to get through this thing. So let's just get by that. Click your mouse one time, and it'll bring you to the title page. And that title page has Paul's Greater Commission. I've shown to you a more excellent way, is what Paul says in Corinthians. Remember, it's not a different way; it's just more excellent. There's more to it now. There's more to the story. There's more to the truth here. Expounding the way of God more perfectly is what Paul does. Not errorless, but it's more perfectly. It's more finished. There's more to it now. It's a fantastic thing. So go through a couple of verses here at the beginning. Here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, as Paul, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:9. He is not saying the peace of God. He says, and the God of peace shall be with you, if we follow to Paul. Then it says in Galatians, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. That's Paul's commission. That is Paul's purpose. God is going to reveal his son, because that's the risen Savior now, that I might preach him, who's that? His son, among the heathen. The heathen were the dogs of the Old Testament. They're the Gentiles. So that's his ministry. His ministry is us. Living the risen life is what this is all about. He says in Ephesians, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Marvelous things, only from Paul. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, so it was given to Paul to teach to us. It says in Corinthians, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, that be Timothy book, chapters, or book, 1st and 2nd Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So see, Paul's ways, not just his doctrine, but his ways are to be taught in every church. Are Paul's ways being taught in every church today? I can safely say no. Then in Thessalonians he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and his crew, Bartholomew, all these people here, receive Barnabas, I mean, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So Paul's teachings, his ways, will show us how we can please God. Okay, now, the next click then takes us to this, I would have to say, detailed, massive chart. As we click through that thing, we see where it says in 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16. So, this is all based on rightly dividing the scriptures this morning, the word of truth. And we see it's going to come in three parts. You've got the Old Testament. You've got the New Testament. Oh, wait a minute, that's only two parts. Well, we take the Gospels and we apply the Gospels to the Old Testament still, because that's Old Testament doctrine. We take the last part of the Gospels, after Christ died, we apply those to the New Testament doctrine to us today, Paul's Gospel. So we have Old Testament and New Testament. That's what everybody has. So, keep this in mind now. This whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, it's about a kingdom. It's about a king. It's about a leader. And it's about a throne. Who's the leader at the time? Okay? Well, wasn't God always king? No. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. But before the New Testament, he wasn't on the scene. He came on the scene when Moses was seeing God, that kind of stuff. We can talk about that someday. But you've got to remember that the New Testament is dividing your book to when Jesus comes down. He's the Son of God. He's God manifest in the flesh, it says. So the Old Testament, it's a kingdom. But what kind of a kingdom is it? Well, first, let's look at the thought in Revelation 11, verse 15, it talks about the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, they belong to Satan. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this world. He's the one that's on the worldly throne at this point. Okay? Well, that makes sense. God of this world. Remember that. Then you will see in the Bible that the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is confusing to some folks. Genesis 12 talks about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is a literal and a physical, visible, material kingdom. And it's the kingdom of Israel. So, as we go through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, Jeconiah, Zedekiah, we are going through the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean it's in heaven, but the scriptures refer to it as a kingdom of heaven. It's an earthly kingdom. And during that time, there were leaders, kings if you'd want to call them such. You had Adam, I'll say the list again, Adam, Noah, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, Jeconiah, Zedekiah. during all those periods of history, during the Old Testament, those were the guys that were in charge of the program. They were the ones, quote, on a throne as such. Then you have a kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of peace, joy, in the Holy Ghost, invisible spiritual kingdom. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 defines this kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that Paul preaches, but we'll come back to that later. So what we have three kingdoms. Kingdoms of this world, they belong to Satan. You've got the kingdom of heaven, which is an earthly physical kingdom. You've got the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. Okay, now, when Adam comes along, he's the son of God, and he's made in God's image, Genesis. Both kingdoms are there, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It's a physical kingdom. There they were, physically, but yet it was a kingdom of God because it was righteousness, peace, and joy. It was an invisible. They were righteous, sinless. Okay, so along comes the power of the air, the ruler of darkness, the enemy, Lucifer, the devil, you know. He comes along and messes with this whole system, and so the kingdom of God disappears. It's taken away. If you go to this chart, the scriptures are all there for you. We couldn't possibly get through this in a week by looking up all the scriptures, but they are there written for you. We're just kind of going to overview this whole thing. So when Satan comes along and does this thing, and then there's the fall, what makes it the fall is the kingdom of God goes away for now. That's that righteousness, peace, joy, invisible spiritual kingdom. It becomes a physical, fleshly physical kingdom. Now, during that whole time of the Old Testament, here are who the leaders are that makes this kingdom of heaven. I know that's confusing, the kingdom of heaven. Just keep thinking earthly kingdom. Adam, he's the first one in charge. And have Noah, Abram, beginning the Israelites, the Jews, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. These are the guys that are running the ship during these times in the Old Testament. Moses, of course, is when he's given the law. Saul wasn't God's choice, but that's who became the king at the time. David, who was God's choice. Then you have Solomon, where the kingdom got divided. Then you've got this guy named Jeconiah. Now, Jeconiah is interesting because in Jeremiah 22, God finally says, you know what? I'm done. There's going to be no more male seed on this throne. Nobody's going to be running these guys with the male seed, I mean, you know, the physical male. So it's done. Well, they put Zedekiah in, and he was a king over nothing. He had nothing going on. Read the story there. So as a result of all that, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar comes along. And because there's no kingdom of heaven nor a kingdom of God, he's a type of Antichrist. So he builds his image and he becomes the leader. It's like quite a bit like Satan on this earth. Nebuchadnezzar is the type of Antichrist. During this time, Daniel comes along and he has a dream of what's coming. During all this time, you got major and minor prophets that were preaching during all these kingdoms, these little kingdoms down here, but they were all preaching a kingdom of heaven, which is a physical kingdom. Okay. Just kind of hang in there. Hang in there with me. I forgot to do all these clicks. I'll just look it off my chart here. Well, after Daniel, we got all the way through the Old Testament there. Now, comes along this guy named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he's a messenger. He's a voice. And he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark talks about that, Mark chapter 1, verse 4. But he's preaching it to people of Israel. He's coming to the Jews. He's to the Jews to tell people that Jesus is coming. This Messiah is coming. And meaning that they're both kingdoms are coming. If they would have accepted Christ as their Messiah, they would have had both kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. It would have happened right then and there. Now, what about the Gentiles? Well, the purpose of the Jews then, Christ, he came to the Jews first, and he was going to have the Jews go out to the world and tell people about their, meaning the Jewish Messiah. So the Gentiles, the heathen, would have their opportunity. But during the time Jesus was on the earth to the Jews, remember, Son of Man, Son of God, kingdoms were at hand when he was there. References are there, Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4. He came to the Jewish nation, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 3, John chapter 3. But he said to the Jews and to the apostle guys, listen, do not take these teachings to the Gentiles. What teachings? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, how do you know that? You got to see in the chart, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, 32, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, verse 18, chapter 12, 18 to 21, chapter 15, verse 24, chapter 24, 13 and 14. Those are the verses that tell us that Jesus told the Jews not to take this stuff to the Gentiles. And then Matthew chapter 16, Mark chapter 8, Luke chapter 9 tells the Jews that they need to follow Jesus. John chapter 3, Luke chapter 24, they follow Jesus as a nation. And if they want to follow Jesus as a nation, they have to sell everything they got. Dedicate themselves to him. That's basically what you find in the Gospels. Well, we know that the crucifixion takes place. Well, and remember now, we go to Matthew chapter 9, 11 to 28, that tells us that the New Testament doctrine does not take place until the death of the testator. So in all doctrinal reality, the New Testament does not take place until the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of those books at the very end. Matthew 27, Mark 15, verse 37, Luke 23, verse 46, John chapter 19, verse 30. Wow, there's a lot of stuff here. Well, I'm just giving you a general look, and you'll see why in a few minutes here. Well, after that takes place, there's what everybody calls the Great Commission. That takes place. Jesus Christ shows up again. He comes back, and he goes to the apostles, and he tells these guys, listen, you need to go out to the world. You need to go out to the other Jews as well. And tell them they have a second chance here. They have a second chance. And if they repent and be baptized, if they follow the show as explained to them, then they will have, then that's where the signs come in. Casting out devils, speaking with new tongues, taking up serpents, drinking poison, healing the sick. That will all take place. Well, that did take place for a little while. That's what Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry, that's what Acts chapter 1 through chapter 8 is all about. We can honestly say that Christ came back and offered the kingdom one more time. What kingdom? Well, he could have had the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. They could have had them both. Just like the first time he came, just like when Adam and Eve were here. However, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was killed, the preacher was killed. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and from there on comes Paul onto the scene. So Acts chapter 7, Stephen is killed. Acts chapter 8 is a bridge over to Acts chapter 9, and we have Paul shown up on the scene. Well, there's a lot there, wasn't there? Oh, it was. I'm not trying to poo-poo any of this stuff. All the way back to Genesis, we are now up to Acts chapter 9. That's what we went through. And again, this chart that's available on my website in a couple different places. You can follow it, pop up in front of you, or you can just print the paper off itself. You can email me and I'll even send you a copy or a bunch of copies, whatever. The chart's available. It's not a complicated thing. It's just easier to see visually. Okay, now, this Paul thing, as people call it with me, preaching Paul's gospel. Isn't Paul's gospel just about Jesus Christ? Yeah. But it's about the risen Savior. So, we look here and we see Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, wasn't Peter? Wasn't he the first one that had the dream? Yeah, but Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, it says in Galatians chapter 2. So we can't get that mixed up. Peter was there. He was getting the change after Christ died and rose again. Because Peter was to take that stuff to the Jews. Paul was the one, the apostle to the uncircumcision, Galatians chapter 2. Now, in Acts chapter 9, 1 to 22, in Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter 26, Galatians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 3, those are scripture references that tell us that Christ met with Paul face to face. This isn't something Paul came up with. He met Christ face to face. And so Paul was going to do God's, and Paul was the worst guy around. He was the persecutor of Christians. He was the one that went after the church people. What better person to serve God than one who's hated God in the first place? Okay, so now let's just, we'll get this done this one morning program here, I think. I'm just kind of making it real quick here. Paul's ministry. It's listed in your chart. He's to be a minister and witness of what he has seen and for what Christ shows him. Acts chapter 26. To open eyes, to turn Gentiles from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Acts 26 as well. Turns us to God and do works meet for repentance. Acts 20. Preach and teach repentance toward God and faith toward the risen Savior Jesus Christ. You go through the scriptures with Paul's books and you find out about prayer. You find out the specifics that our concern should be for our family. It tells a man how to pray, what to pray for. Not just a new house and a new car and a good job. Fantastic series to study what it is about Paul's prayers. And to repeat Paul's prayers over, that's not the point at all. Zero zilch. Acts chapter 28, verse 28, Paul's purpose is to show Gentiles that the way of salvation is different than John's baptism and the way it was defined in Gospels. You go through all through the Gospels, you find out that salvation, they just had to believe that Christ was the Messiah. Actually, Jesus was the Messiah. They had to believe that he was the Son of God. That was their way of salvation. And Paul's preaching of salvation is about faith in Christ, the risen Savior. Paul's purpose is to give God his glory. Bunch of verses on that. Ephesians chapter 4 is the purpose of a church today. The church, the local assembly. Body of Christ. Romans chapter 1, to impart to us spiritual gifts. Not the ones in 1 Corinthians, but the ones in Romans. I got a series of verses. Paul's ministries that guide us to walk worthy of the Lord. To reveal God's mysteries kept hidden until now. Paul will explain all the mysteries in the Bible. In Romans and Timothy and Acts, Paul's purpose is to expound to us the way of God more perfectly now. You study Paul, you study Paul's writings and words and teachings, you'll find out about the judgment seat of Christ, the details of that. You'll find out in Romans chapter 11 that Paul's purpose is to get the Jews to be so jealous that they wanted to have what Christ was given to the Gentiles. Paul's purpose was to show people that his was the only gospel, that his was the only gospel that should be being preached was Paul's. Paul's gospel is a gospel of grace. Paul tells us how we are to follow Paul, not imitate Paul, and not try to be who Paul is, but to follow Paul and his ways. Paul's ways can deliver us from a list of things that I've given to you on this chart. Fantastic stuff. Paul guides our walk, and he guides our walk that pleases the risen Savior. He tells us how to live beyond the crucifixion a more excellent way. I got a long set of verses here where Paul preaches faith for salvation. So, when this whole Gentile scene is completed, Romans chapter 11, it's done, the fullness of Gentiles be come in, as it says, then we have the judgment seat of Christ based on our works, if we followed Paul's teachings or not. Then we have the Antichrist that shows up on the scene during the tribulation. After the tribulation comes the millennium. During that millennium, both of those kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, return. Because, see, during the tribulation, the kingdom of God disappears. I don't think I said this at the beginning, but Paul's kingdom that he preaches is a kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. Whether we have the right buildings or the right temples or the right this or the right that means nothing during Paul's teachings of the dispensation of grace. It's not an earthly kingdom now. It's not a kingdom of heaven. That went away when Stephen was killed. I did forget to mention that. So all during Paul's teachings, Romans chapter 14, Paul teaches the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. So when the Gentiles are done, we have no kingdoms. The spiritual kingdom is taken away. The earthly kingdom hasn't been here for a while. And just like in Nebuchadnezzar's time, now we have the real Antichrist that comes down, because there's no kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven on this earth. The kingdoms of this world belong to Satan without any conflict. But when Christ comes back, he brings both kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven, it'll be an earthly kingdom, and it'll be a spiritual kingdom as well. And that's called the fullness of times. Now, that was pretty quick. It's like we just went through it. We just looked at the whole entire cow, and I showed you all the parts of the cow that's cut up for meat. You got the ribs, you got the hamburger, you got the, you know, the roast, all that stuff. We just described the whole entire animal here. We just went through from Genesis to Revelation in one sermon. I thought we were going to do it over three. But that was just a quick run through. Seriously, if it perked an interest in you, the chart's available on my website, a couple of different places. Email me and I'll send it to you. I'd like to start hearing from you listeners out there, whether you have heard this stuff before, you like it, dislike it. Don't be afraid to write to me. This is not a war that's taking place. We're just here to preach about the goodness of God. And what about this goodness? This that we talked about today, this is a whole entire Genesis to Revelation in a 29-minute radio program. The scriptures are there. This isn't what I came up with. This is just the overlook of the whole Bible. It's fantastic stuff, fantastic stuff. I look at this chart, and I'm just amazed what that Bible contains. And it's so simple to understand. Should guide you to Paul's greater commission. That is my goal. So we'll leave it at that. That was a quick one, wasn't it? That was a chunk. Old Testament, Gospels, Paul's Gospel, Tribulation, Millennium, all this stuff. Jeconiah, just all these things. Peter, Stephen, John the Baptist. No, all these things have a fantastic part in God's design. And it's all explained to us in one book, what we call the Bible. It's the Scriptures. Only book you find it in is in the King James Bible. And it's fantastic stuff. It is the goodness of God to the max.